Well, good morning, everybody. Are you blessed by the worship?
Amen.
How many of you believe that we have a lot to say thank you to God for?
Amen.
We do. You know, sometimes we forget. But God does a lot for us, whether it be big, whether it be small. And thanksgiving is a very necessary part of being a child of God. Amen?
Amen.
Well, praise God. I would like to welcome two dear friends of ours. We haven't seen you in a while. As far as I know, you've been cruising the country, enjoying the health benefits that God has blessed you with. And I want to say thank you that you've come today to share your testimony. It was Lorraine, right? Lorraine and Lionel. Can I ask that the two of you just join me up in the front, please? Thank you. Lorraine, I know that you have shared a part of your testimony before. I would love for you to share maybe that part and then the second part, and then I would like to just ask the two of you one or two questions. I know that what God did for you is amazing. It's wonderful. I must be honest, if I saw you in the street, I wouldn't even have recognized you. And God did a complete makeover on you, didn't he?
Amen.
Amen. So you are the living proof of I am a new creature in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
First of all, thank you folks for welcoming us, even though we haven't been here for a whole year.
But we feel the love among you, and we are so grateful for it. And then I want to say thank you to Rion for yielding himself to the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit can do amazing things through somebody who is prepared to be there and to minister to people.
Amen.
So for that, thank you, Rion.
God is good.
You have
and we give him all the glory. Amen.
Father God, we just praise you and we bless you. All glory and honor is yours. And I am healed by the stripes of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
My life was so, I was actually existing. I wasn't living. I spent about 30 years in a wheelchair for arthritis. I walked around with a box of medicine that would slay a horse. I took huge amounts of heart medication, blood pressure, water, and then another whole lot of other medication for the arthritis. And between the two of them, not even the mozzies wanted to bite me. I was so toxic. They would fly right past me and go to attack my poor husband. God is good. He is so good. Today, I am free. I don't carry that little suitcase with all my medication with me. I don't need it. I don't use it. And I don't want it because God has healed me.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I had a heart condition that was arrhythmic. In other words, it wouldn't beat properly. If I was sitting quietly on a chair, just reading or relaxing, it would beat at about 130 beats a minute. If I got up to walk from here to the back of there, by the time I got to the back, it was going at about 190 beats a minute. And that's how I lived. I had to stop halfway, wait for my heart to start slowing down. Otherwise, if I just keep walking, I'll pass out. Because what's happening, instead of beating like it's supposed to, it's just sitting there quivering, quivering, quivering. And to be quite honest, Lionel and I had quite given up that I was going to see this year through. That was last year. And one day my son said to me, "Ma'am, come to church with me." So we said, "Fine, we'll come to church with you." And praise God, it was the best decision we ever made.
Amen.
Because that night, Rion prayed for me. And I tell you, I was out on that floor. And the Lord worked in such an amazing way. Instead of my heart going crazy, it just did all sorts of funny things that it had never done on its own before. It was just racing. It then it got slower and slower and slower. And by this time I thought, wow, Lord, you actually have to stop my heart before you can heal it. But I said, Lord, you are my maker, and I just give you all the praise and the glory. I am so ready to receive that healing. And after a while, that stopped. And then it suddenly started racing so fast that I think if I was on a machine, one of those heart monitor things, it would have looked like satin stitch with no breaks in between. It just went wild. Father, I'm in your hands. And then that stopped.
God was giving you a tune-up.
He was
fine-tuning.
Yes, definitely. And then after a while, that stopped. And then it started beating what would be a normal rate, about 65 beats a minute. But it beat so hard. It was like there was a bongo drum sitting in my chest. And I was, quah, quah, quah. It just, every pulse point in my back, in my neck, in my head, in my feet, everywhere was just, wah. And then that stopped after a while. And I thought, Father, I know you've healed me. I thank you and I praise you. I'm just laying there saying thank you. And then there was like a funny feeling. I could only say it felt like a spider running down my arm, inside my body. And when it got to my wrist, it sort of stuck out a needle or something that was trying to get through. Prick, prick, prick. After a while, that stopped. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And then it happened on this side, but very, very faint on this side. And then everything stopped. I couldn't even feel my heart beating. For the last 10 years, it always, day and night, felt like there was a dove sitting here, beating its wings. That's what this funny feeling was. With my heart beating at such an irregular rate. I lay there and I praised God and I thanked Him and I praised Him and I praised Him. And I just, oh, Lord. I got up from there, and from then, my heart worked like a charm.
Amen.
No medication, no tablets, day or night. Now we went home. And Lionel said, look, I'm going to check you. And he put me on a blood monitor, pulse, what you call it, to see what's happening. No problem, no problem, no problem, no problem. No medication, no medication, no medication. And so it went. My day started with, I get out of bed previously. And Lionel would go and get the shower and put the chair there. I'd go and sit on the shower. I couldn't lift my arms up because if I lifted my arms up, my heart would go crazy. So Lionel had to wash me, wash my feet. By that time, I'm exhausted. I must go and lie down now. I can't even brush my teeth. I'm finished. And my day went like that by little increments, little things. The next morning, I got up after Rihanna prayed for me. Lionel put my chair out. I went and sat down. I washed my hair, washed my feet. I got out of the shower. Wow, this is amazing. I brushed my teeth, and that wasn't enough. I saw it cream there. Cream all over my body. And I'm amazed. Everything is wonderful. And I sat on the bed and I said to Lionel, wow. What now? And I dressed myself for the first time in so long. Lionel didn't have to help me put on my clothes because I couldn't reach my clothes or anything. And wow, this whole week it went like that. And we said, you know, we have to go back and go and give praise to God.
Amen.
So the following Sunday we came back here. And Rion then prayed for me for the arthritis. I was carried up those stairs because of the arthritis by my son and my husband. I couldn't walk up the steps. prayed for me. And since then, I haven't even needed a half an Astro for pain.
Wow.
As I was laying there, the pain just disappeared. Just disappeared. And I got up. I couldn't believe that I could move without counting the cost of every move that I made, because the arthritis was in every joint in my body. Nothing. It is healed. It is fabulous.
Amen.
God is so good. And since then, I have just gone from strength to strength. We walk about a kilometer every morning and quite often in the afternoon as well. And we live in a retirement village. You know, I am such a witness there for the glory of God.
Amen.
People look at me and they say, do you know what? You are a living miracle.
Amen.
A miracle I have seen with my own eyes. Not just something I read about or saw on the TV, but here, look at you. You are amazing. God is so good.
Amen.
Oh.
Amen.
Praise all along. He has made an incredible difference. Another funny thing is when we go walking, when people stop us and they say, because we don't just stroll, we walk briskly. And they stop me and they say, do you know that there's a 10 kilometer hour speed limit now? Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
And I just want to say thank you. Thank praise you God. For your love, everybody. And
let's give the Lord a big hand, please. Lorraine, I want to say thank you so much. What you did coming back here to share with us your testimony is wonderful. And you know what? It's biblical because God wants us.
Yes.
You know, I'm always reminded of the Gadarene demoniac.
Yes.
When he was healed, he said to Jesus, I want to go with you. I want to be where you are.
That's
I want
right.
to do everything with you. And Jesus said, no.
Go back.
Your calling is to go back and share your testimony.
Yes.
Because when we hear people's testimonies, it gives us hope.
Yes.
And you know what? Probably we have a couple of people here today that feel a bit hopeless in their situation.
God,
and sometimes we have this feeling that God doesn't care. I want to touch on something that you shared with me down there when we greeted. You told me that for 30 years you were in that wheelchair.
Yes.
I want to say something about that. You have no problem standing here. The two of you are fine.
Not
okay,
at all.
Good. Praise God.
Not at all.
I take my hat off to you and I'm going to share with you why now. This is how our lives go. When we battle with something for a long time, sometimes we just want to give up. And you know, sometimes the enemy is there and he whispers in our ear, you know what, if after 30 years God hasn't done it, he's just not going to do it. That's just the way it's going to be. You had an invitation to go to church.
Yes.
You could have said, ach, you know what, why should I go? You know, people have prayed for me before and nothing happened, so why should this be any different? Or God obviously has given up on me. You could have come with a lot of things, but you said, yes, I want to go.
Yes.
And I want to turn what she experienced and I want to talk to all of you here today. That's how we are. When we've battled with something for a long time, we become hard inside. Sometimes we have this thing, oh, why should I bother? And that's wrong, because sometimes that day that you say no is the day that the anointing was there for you to be touched, for you to be healed, for you to be changed. And sometimes there's a reason why the devil doesn't want you to go to church, because he might not know the future, but the writing is already on the wall. He can see something happen in the spirit world. And so we must check our attitude. You know, last week we spoke on prayer. And I shared with him the scripture of the parable Jesus shared when the man woke up in the middle of the night and he had these people come and they arrived after a journey. And the custom in those days dictated that now you have to feed them, and he had nothing to feed them with.
Yeah.
So he was faced with this dilemma. If I don't feed them, they're going to make me out to be a bad host and I will lose credibility and my reputation will go down the toilet. Or otherwise, I know my neighbor baked some bread, I can go and, you know, sort of risk his wrath by knocking on his door at 2 o'clock in the morning. And he said to himself, you know what? I'm going to go and knock on his door. And he knocked and he knocked and he knocked. You know, when somebody knocks on your door at 2 o'clock in the morning, you try and ignore it at first. The problem is if they are very persistent, after a while, you just can't ignore it. You're going to get up. And the guy got up and he shouted at him and he said, hey, just leave me alone. Go away. Me and my kids are in bed. He slammed the door closed, but the guy stood there, knock, 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 knock. And eventually, out of desperation, the person who baked the bread gave the other person the bread. And then Jesus sums up the parable and he says, in the kingdom of God, this is how it works. You have to knock and keep on knocking. I know that there are some people sitting here, you've been coming for prayer for this breakthrough and that breakthrough for this healing and that healing. And, you know, probably the devil has been saying to you, oh, why are you even bothering? Why don't you just give up? It's not going to happen for you. This woman had to wait 30 years for her to receive a healing, but she got it. And can I tell you why she got it? Because when God came and spoke to her and touched her heart, she didn't say no. She said yes. And I remember that first night that you came here. It took everything you had to just get here, but you came. And I want to say something to you. God honored my faith when I prayed for you, yes. But God also honored your faith because in your own way, you persevered. And I want to be honest with you. I don't even recognize you. You look like a completely different person. I said earlier on, if I saw you in the street, maybe the face is a little bit familiar, but the rest is like, what happened? Yeah. You feel like you have a new wife, don't you? Yeah, I joked with him. I said to Lorraine, you obviously brought your husband here because he can't keep up anymore. She joked. She said, yes. So we're going to be praying with you, Lionel.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, Lionel, you lived with somebody that you love and that you care for 30 years. You saw how this, let's call it infirmity, crippled her life. It couldn't have been easy, could it?
It wasn't easy at all, Graham, because it took a lot of my time, a lot of my effort to keep her happy and to work around it. But I can also tell you, I've got a son that is 22 years old that lives down in PE.
Yeah.
And that son has never seen rain run. And this last time we were down there in PE, for the first time in his life, he saw her run.
And then you had to pray for him because he fainted.
Yeah.
Like, what?
And my grandchildren have never been on the beach with her because she couldn't get onto the beach. You can't go onto the beach with a wheelchair. Now we walk all over the beach with the kids.
Praise God. Give them all a good
welcome.
Well, you know, they shared with me the reason they only came back to testify now. It's because she feels so good now that they are actually seeing the whole country, which I bless you with that because I think it's your time to enjoy.
Yes.
Lionel, I want to say to you, you did very well. And in a way, God also honored your faith because you never gave up on your wife and you loved her. You know, when it says in sickness and in health, that's what it's about, in sickness and in health. And God honored you for all those years. And well done, man. You are an inspiration to all of us. I'm very blessed to have the two of you here to come and share this testimony. It touched my heart, and I trust that it's going to touch a lot of people here today. I want to end off by saying this. Lorraine endured hardship, trial, tribulation, and suffering for 30 years. In those 30 years, probably many times, and you're free to say something to that if you want, the enemy probably came and spoke to you and said, why do you even bother? Why don't you just let it go? Why don't you just give up? It's never going to change. That's how the devil works. The devil preys on our weakness. But you never know when God is about to drop that hammer of justice and say, enough is enough. And I want to encourage you. You know what? We're starting a new year. Maybe in the past, you have these things where you get upset with God, you get frustrated with your circumstances, you say, ah, I don't even care, I don't bother, I'm not even going to try anymore. Don't do that, because that day could be the day of your salvation. And by salvation, yeah, I don't just mean going to heaven. I mean for your body to experience the benefits of salvation, which includes healing, which includes deliverance, which includes restoration. You know, when Jesus said, knock and keep on knocking, he didn't say you were going to have to knock once or twice. How many times did you pray in that time? Well, I can see that you are people of faith. You have a faithful husband, because if he wasn't faithful, he wouldn't still be standing by your side and doing the things he did. But the fact is, it didn't happen today. It didn't happen tomorrow. It took 30 years, but God came through for you. And today, your life is a walking testimony. And now I want to ask, if I can ask both of you to answer to this. I know it wasn't nice. I know it wasn't a good experience for you. I know it probably saddened you many times, and you experienced a lot of hardships and trial. But if you look back today at how God changed things and how powerful your testimony is, would you say it was worth it going through all of that? Or would you say you wish it never happened?
It was worth it. He is faithful. If you just keep on trying, keep on believing. He is there and he's listening. We sang that song, God will make a way. And it is so. He makes a way for every situation.
Amen.
And I will testify till the day I die.
Amen.
How good
Amen.
He is.
Yes. Amen.
I can remember correctly that evening that we, your sermon here was about being persistent.
Amen.
Keep on going. Keep on
yes.
trying.
Yes.
Be persistent in everything that you do.
Do not give up.
Do not give up.
Well, praise God.
Amen.
You know, there was one place, I believe that there was a blind man or something in the Bible that Jesus healed. And then the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Lord, what was wrong with this man? Was it because of his sin or was it because of his ancestors or anything? And then Jesus said, no, in this case, it was simply for the glory of God. You know what? If what you went through for 30 years was simply that everybody in your retirement village is now glorifying God, was it worth it?
Yes.
I agree. You know, you are with a lot of people who are about to cash in their ticket.
Right.
Probably some of them, their lives were not lacking with God, but I can tell you something. What God did through you and what God did in you is making a lot of them think differently about life. How do you put a value on that? We can't. You know, we rejoice with you. We are excited with you. We bless God with you. And you know what? You are always welcome to come back and spend some time with us. When you've been gallivanting for too long and you feel a bit tired, you come back here. God gives you a new boost of energy. You go out there and you share your testimony again. Amen. Lionel, thank you for standing by now and helping me. Thank you for sharing your testimony with us. You are an inspiration to all of us. And I believe your testimony today spoke to everybody in this place not to give up. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Well, you know what? I don't even actually want to preach a sermon after that because that'll just put a damper on things. I actually just want to talk on what was already shared. I have this thing very strong in my heart that, you know, the devil many times when we go through the trials and tribulations of life gets us to focus so much on the problem, so much on the situation that we're going through, that we become negative, we become despondent, we feel dejected. We have this thing we want to give up because why should I bother? You know, when God says in his word, in this world there will be troubles, he means it. It's not always going to go the way we want to. But, you know, we have a privilege that the world does not have. The world has to go to some doctor when they got a problem, hoping that he has some understanding or wisdom concerning the situation that they have, or there's some piliki out there that might make their situation better. We have something of infinite more value. We have God. And, you know, when we come to God and our attitude is right, the word of God says God will answer us. Call on me and I will answer you and I will show you great and unsearchable things that you did not know. You did not know when you came here that day you were going to go home healed the first time. You did not know when you came here the second time that you were going to go healed. And neither did she know that her life was about to change. She did not know that for the first time in how many years her son was going to see her walk. If you were in that wheelchair for 30 years, I don't know how old your son is, but probably he's 42. Your son was about 12 years old the last time he saw you laughing and running and whatever. I wish I could have been there when they opened the car door and the son was expecting the dad to bring the wheelchair and, you know, help. And the next moment you get out there and you're like, how's it, my boy? It's like, oh. Yeah, praise God. I'm not going to preach a sermon today. Today I'm going to say to you that I want all of us to make a commitment that we are going to refuse to give up.
Amen.
And it does not matter how many times you receive prayer. I want to just touch on something. There is people out there that have this attitude that once you have received prayer for something once, if you go the second time, then you, for some weird reason, actually have no faith. Lorraine, in the 30 years that you suffered with your infirmity, how many times did you pray and ask God to heal you? Well, you know what? I've never been in the situation that you are in, but probably many times during the day you would talk to God and say, Lord, I'm battling. My poor husband is battling. I don't want this. Please just come and touch me. Please heal me. If we work out once a day for 30 years, Eddie, you are the human computer. How many would that? 365 times 30? I don't know. It's a hell of a lot. Let's not even go there. It's thousands. It's in the tens of thousands, I'm sure. You didn't receive anything until that day. But in the end, you received it. You know, there's another scripture where the Bible says, he that runs the race till the end will receive the prize. You don't know when you start running a race. When you get diagnosed with some sickness, you're starting to run a race. Is it going to be the 100 meters? Is it going to be the 400 meters? Is it going to be a 10,000 kilometer? Or will it be the comrades and it's like 90-something kilometers? We don't know when we start. But the thing is, the devil wants us to give up. Go sit at the side and say, oh, well, whatever, I'm not doing this anymore. And then he wins. You know, you can get upset with me, but many times the devil wins. Not because God is inferior, but because we give up. And God did not call you to be a quitter. You are a winner. Look at your neighbor and say, you are more than a conqueror.
You are more than a conqueror.
In Christ Jesus. I want you to look your neighbor in the eye and you say, there is nothing. You cannot conquer when Jesus is with you. There is no infirmity, there is no sickness, there is no problem, there is no trial, there is no tribulation, there is no lack that you cannot conquer when Jesus is on your side. But the fact of the matter is, God's word says we must persevere. So in other words, we're going to knock today. And if we haven't seen that door open, we're going to knock tomorrow. And when the devil comes to make us negative, we're going to say, shut up and foot sack, get out of my life right now, go to the pit of hell, devil, you the negative one, not me, I will not accept this. And we're going to knock again. To keep on knocking is not a sign of unbelief or lack of faith. It is a sign of faith because you're doing what the word of God tells you to do. Many times I get very frustrated when people talk that way. It's like, oh, but if they've gone for prayer once, they mustn't go again. No, where do you see that in the Bible? Please, man, get a life. Read the scriptures in context. We need to keep asking God. We have a Father that hears our prayers. But sometimes God also wants to see. She said something so true. She said God did heal her, but she also had to do her part. She says that after all the healing, she started looking after her body differently. She started doing things that probably before you couldn't do, but now you realize you have to do it. She had to do her part. When it comes to prayer, my responsibility is to pray. You know, sometimes we have this attitude, oh, but God can see that I'm in the duenya. He can see that I'm busy sinking. And why doesn't he do something? Because probably we're not praying. God sometimes wants to see perseverance. Who knows why? He's God. And if you want to talk to him about that one day, if it's really such a big issue to you, then when you stand before him, you can ask him all those questions. I'm not going to answer on his behalf because I don't know. But I do know when it's in the word, it has to be applied, and it has to be applied with faith. You need a breakthrough financially, you're going to keep praying. Tomorrow there's going to come a situation where the devil says, ah, just give it up, it doesn't work. No, I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep standing. You need a breakthrough in your relationship, you need a breakthrough in your body. What are you going to do? You're going to keep praying. You're going to keep standing. You know, there was a couple of places, like in the bath of Bethesda. Jesus walked up to a man who had been, if I remember correctly, like 24 years or many years. How many years was it? 38 years, thank you. For 38 years, that man had been lying there. Every single day, hoping that today would be the day that I'm going to get healed. Because you remember the story back then, an angel would come and stir the water, and the first person into the dam or into the pond or whatever it was, the well, would get healed. But he was never the first because he couldn't walk and he didn't have people sitting there waiting with him every day to be healed. Yet he stayed there by the water, showing God an expectancy. I want to be healed. Jesus came walking in there one day. That man didn't know that day that his life was about to change. And he could have given up and said, listen, yeah, just take me home. I'd rather go lie there in my bed and feel sorry for myself. No, he stayed there with anticipation. Jesus walked up to him. Jesus said, do you want to be healed? He looked at Jesus, probably thought to himself, what type of a question is that? That's why I'm lying here. But he answered, he said, yes, yes, I do. Jesus said, get up, take your mat and go. You are healed. After 38 years, he got healed. Not even in the way that he expected. It wasn't somebody that picked him up and threw him in the water first. God diverted Jesus' path to that man. Because he persevered for 38 years. I know it would be wonderful if God could answer every single prayer, boom, right here, right now, when I pray. And sometimes he does. But sometimes he doesn't. He's God. Sometimes in the way God deals with us, he shows us things about our life, and he teaches us the principles of the kingdom of God. But God is always sovereign, and God is always right. But I want to tell you something. One thing I want you to take from Lorraine's testimony today, God loves his children. Because what God gave her, he gave her out of love. Lorraine didn't do anything to deserve it. Lionel didn't do anything to deserve it. That was just the grace of God and the love of God that manifested. But God changed her life. She was in the right place at the right time with the right attitude, and God said, boom, there you go. Let's ask another question. Why must I go to church to be healed? Why can't God just heal me in my bedroom? Well, I can't put words in God's mouth. God can probably heal you anyway. God can probably do a miracle for you anyway. But there's something that you have to understand. It's called the anointing. When you are in a group with a group of believers, there is a corporate anointing that manifests itself. And the anointing is necessary for the power of God to move. Without the anointing, it doesn't just move. Sometimes God has an expectation that you should get up off your couch and actually go to church and come under that anointing so that the power of God can break through into your life. And if that's the way God is going to do it, then there's nothing you can do about it. I went to TB Joshua many years ago. I have shared a couple of things about that, but one of the things that people said, I heard a lot of people say in those days was, oh, but why would you want to go to Nigeria to be prayed for when God can heal you right here? I didn't go for healing. I went to see what was happening. But I want to say something about the people that said that. A lot of the people that said that had their own problems, and they had been going to church for years, and I never saw nobody get healed. I never saw no problems changing. You know, they were quick to talk, but their life did not reflect the fruit of what they were saying. And can I tell you why people did get healed up there in Nigeria? Because there was a lot more faith up there, and there was a lot more anointing up there. And the power of God actually moved there. You know, I have shared these things before, and probably I sound like a broken record, but these things are real. So I'm just going to share them again. It takes faith for the hand of God to move. And sometimes that seems to be sorely lacking in our churches down here in South Africa. It takes faith. When there is faith and there is an expectation, things happen. I want to point out one big difference between what I saw up there and what I see in South Africa. I'm not here to give you a hiding, I have to tell you the truth. I got up 4 o'clock in the morning the one day. Do you know that there was already probably 10,000 people standing outside the gates of the church waiting to get in? 4 o'clock in the morning. People can't even be on time for a 10:30 church service yet. But they want to be healed. I'm sorry, but it's true. It's like we start at 9 o'clock, then we have to start at 9:30, then we have to start at 10, then we have to start at 10:30 because nobody comes on time. There's a difference in attitude there. And there's expectation there. You know, there I saw people being carried in with stretchers. I saw people that didn't even have stretchers. They were carrying people in a bed sheet. It was like, looks like the oak's dead, but he's not. He's still sort of breathing. He's like on his last, but they're carrying him in and they're putting him down there. We are for him to be healed. There's expectation. That's called faith. There's perseverance. We don't see that here. And many times that's, to me, why God moves in certain other places and he doesn't move here. God still wants us to persevere. If we keep on knocking, God will open that door. If we keep on praying, God will open that door. I was down in Cape Town. TB Joshua came here a couple of years ago, like 10 years ago or something. There was a big hoo-ah. He went down to Cape Town and he preached in a church there. I was there. There was a man brought there. He broke his back in a four-wheeler accident. He was completely paralyzed. As far as I remember, he had no movement, not in his arms, not in his legs. He only had movement in his face. Broke his neck or his back or something. They brought him there in a Ford Sierra. One of those with a hatch. From what I remember, they had taken the seats out or something, so that they could put this man in this car in a stretcher. They got there and they started hooting outside. Huge big palaver, because now there's a church service going on and there's this huge big palaver. And everybody was wondering what's going on now. And then he actually asked somebody to go and find out what was going on. And then it came that it was this person who was crippled. Now, this person was with me when I went to TB Joshua the first time. I remember him. He was a Burki from somewhere in the Free State. He walked around there with his jean shorts and he never wore shoes once. His toes were like all over the place. They'd never been kept together by shoes. It was the same man. He went there back then for healing for something else. He got healed there in Nigeria. I remember he got healed. He broke his neck or back or something. And he had come all the way down. They'd taken him from Bloemfontein in a car down to Cape Town in a Sierra, where they had taken the seats out with an expectation that if God healed him once, God will heal him again. And it reminded me of the man whose friends broke down the roof and put him down there because they had an expectation he would be healed. There was faith, real faith. The whole church service stopped. He said, bring the man here. They reversed the car because it was in like a factory. They reversed the car in there. He went there. He stretched out his hand. Boom. The power of God came upon the man. The next moment, the oak started running up and down the place. He got healed right there. But in his own way, he also had to persevere. In his own way, he also had to come to God with faith. You're here today and you don't know what is going to happen 10 seconds from now. Your life is about to change. How do you know it won't? Jesus said in the book of Mark 9. Well, there we go. Probably God's talking to you. Mark 9 verse 26. It's one of my favorite scriptures. According to your faith, it shall be given unto you. If your attitude is, nothing ever really happens, so why should today be any different? That's your faith. That's what you're going to take away. Probably you should change your faith. And every time come with an expectancy. And even if you don't get something today, refuse to be negative, refuse to be despondent, refuse to give up. Tomorrow you come with the same expectancy because you don't know when is your day. The Bible says there's a day for everything. There's a day to be born and a day to die and a day to this. It could be your day today. And maybe the more we have the right attitude, the closer we get to that day. Lorraine came here. They battled. She had to have people carrying her up. She was in a lot of pain. And you know what? God healed her that day. You came here today. Maybe you didn't battle as much as she did. But at least you made an effort. Now you're going to trust God that God is going to change your life. You're going to have an expectation. You're going to refuse to allow the devil to make you negative or despondent. You're going to put your foot down and say, you know what? I am going to persevere. This year, I am going to trust God that all my problems are going to be resolved. This year, I'm going to walk by faith.
Amen.
Listen to me. The Word of God says we walk by faith, not by sight. If you walk out of here today and you still haven't got what you've come to ask God for, you come back next week with the same expectation and the same faith. Because you don't walk by sight. It's not what we see. It's what God knows that counts. And we come in here to receive from Him. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm not going to preach anything else. Because I have this feeling in my heart that if I touch on what I wanted to talk on, I will change the move of the Spirit. And we're going to miss out on what God wants to do. So for today, this is what I'm going to do. I want everybody to stand and make a commitment today to God that we will not give in to despair. We will not give in to negativity and despondency and dejection and hopelessness and whatever else, but we're going to trust God. We're going to persevere.
Amen.
I think you've all seen that picture. It's like a cartoon of this the stork that's got the frog. And he's trying to swallow the frog, but the frog has got his hands around his throat, and then it says, never give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. You never know when your life is about to change. Amen. I want to ask you all to stand for me, please. Sorry, that's some dirt. I want you to put your hands up into the air. Before I lead you in a prayer, I'm going to tell you what we're going to be doing. We today are going to thank God for everything we have received up to now, because we have to be thankful for what we have received. And then we're going to make a commitment that in this year, we are going to persevere. We are going to knock and keep on knocking. We are going to have faith. We will not let the devil bring us down. We send the devil to the pit of hell. And we're going to trust God for that breakthrough. We're going to trust God for that healing. We're going to trust God for that open door that we know is about to come. Before you pray with me, Lord, I bring before you all these people. I want to thank you for Lorraine and Lionel. You sent them here today to come and speak to us. And I thank you for that. And I'm very excited to hear that her testimony has touched so many people. Lord, it is so heartwarming to see how the power of God moves through one person and touches countless others. May all of us have a testimony like that to share with people of God's grace and God's mercy and God's love. As these people come before you, Lord, in faith, I thank you that they will receive according to their faith. In Jesus' name, please pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ,
Lord Jesus Christ,
I believe that you are the Son of God,
I believe that you are the Son
and the only way to God,
and the only way to God,
that you died on the cross,
that you died on the cross
for all of my sins,
for all of my sins,
and that you rose again from the dead.
I believe
on the cross,
you became a curse for me,
that I should not suffer
under any curse.
Your body
was bruised,
wounded, and destroyed
to bring healing
into my body.
You became poor
that I might be rich.
You were cast down
that I might be exalted.
You became sin for me
to be redeemed. And I thank you tonight.
And I thank you tonight.
That in Jesus' name,
in Jesus' name,
my life is about to change.
I renounce
all my despondency,
all my dejection,
all my hopelessness,
all my despair,
any lack of faith,
all unbelief.
I silence
every word of Satan
trying to get me to give up.
I will not
choose to persevere.
I choose to have faith.
I have an expectation.
My life
is about
to change.
Praise you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Amen.